Let's learn something.
Good idea.
We're at the end of Perek Dalet of Mishlei. Moving
Yeah.
along. The beginning of it was more looking at Shlomo as the child, and Obnei Yisrael as the children of God, and the Torah is what connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he goes back at the end of what's Perek Dalet, though obviously the Perekim are not a Jewish thing. This paragraph is more of the parent lecturing the child metaphor. Shema b'nei Musar Avicha, that most of this section, these first 10 Perekim of Mishlei, really are all about. It starts with a familiar theme. Listen to my words, things will go well for you. B'nei Devarai Hakshiva, my son, listen to pay attention to my words, la'omri. Tat aznacha, tilt your ears to what I'm saying. Ayaluzu me'enecha, do not let them be strange to your eyes. Shamrem b'tochav avecha, keep them in your heart. Yichayim heim l'motzaeihem, because they are a source of life for those who find them. Words are v'chol b'sarom rapeh, and all of his flesh will be healed, and it will be
Who's he? Rachel the Sarah.
to the ones who are motzaeihem, the one who finds them.
Oh, okay.
Yes, if you can find Torah, it will be a
So that
healing
will
to your flesh.
heal. Okay.
Mikol mishmar natzar libcha, guard it more than anything else that you guard. Natzar mikol mishmar, more than any other mishmar, anything that you're keeping, that you treasure. Himina totzot chayim, because this is the source of life out of this. Again, we've said this before. Someone said it before, Mishlei has said that before about how that the Torah is an Eitz Chaim L'Machzinim Batz, it's a source of life. The Gemara learns one interesting thing about this, Ki Chaim Heim L'Motzeihem, because it is life for those who find it. It says, it's teaching us a little bit about how to learn, what good study habits. Amar Leih Shmuel Rabbi Huda, Shmuel said, Rabbi Huda, we learn, Tach Pumei Kari, open your mouth when you're reading. Say things out loud. Tach pumech tani, and open your mouth when you're studying. Kihechi didit kayem betorecha chayai, because that's how it's going to be. That's going to last in you, and your Torah will live. You got to say it out loud. Nemar ki chayem heim l'motzehem l'chol. That is a source of life for those who find it. Don't read it as motzehem, those who find it. Ella lemotzi ehem, those who bring it out with their mouths. Now, saying it out loud when you're learning is a good way to remember it.
I love these little play on words.
If you try to read it silently, you're not going to remember anything. You gotta lecture it out, say it out, then you remember.
It reminds me of that thing we say at the end of davening. Don't
Altikre
call
banayach. Don't call it your children, but your builders.
Yeah.
So it's the same idea, right? It's not changing the words, just there's a little hint in there. But motzi b'peh. You want to learn Torah? Say it out loud. Then he switches and starts giving advice about the advice that you should not listen to. There's this bad advice too. And it says, "Haser mimcha ikshot peh." Remove from yourself all the warped mouth, warped speech. Lazut sepatayim harchek mimcha, and strange words keep far away from you. Einayach nenochach yabitu. Always look straight ahead. Look at what's in front of you. Afafayach yashu negdecha, and keep your eyebrows pointed straight forward. Pelas ma'agel raglecha, weigh the path, the circles that your legs, your feet go in. Kol drechecha yachenu, and make all of your ways straight. I'll take you in a small. Don't turn from the right or the left. Haser raglecha me'ra, and keep your feet from going to evil. And he starts out here, but haser mimcha ekshod peh, keep away from warped speech. And he's not talking here about lashon hara. Not talking about don't about the warped speech that you yourself speak. He's talking about the speech of others. be careful, but by not to be taken in by people with convincing words, by smooth talkers. That's the Ikshot Peh. That's the way the Gemara puts it. Aser mimcha Ikshot Peh is mi sheyesh peh ikesh, someone who has literally a warped mouth. Klomar zehu ra b'chol, someone is saying bad things. Stay away from them. And then lazut svatayim, and deceitful lips. That's siftei chalakot. This is smooth lips, smooth talkers. Shemadaber echad bepev echad b'lev. That's saying one thing but means another. A hypocrite. And pivo libo shavin, his mouth and his mind are not the same. That's even more dangerous. Hachek far from them is hasher. Remove the ikshot peh, but stay far away from the lazut svatayim. Ki garua min arai. That's worse than people saying bad things. Oh, just keep them far away. Be careful that people are saying one thing and mean another thing.
I
So
suppose
that's
that's a little tricky
it is tricky.
because I'm just saying, like, when we are learning the davening and we say, okay, Shmona Esrei, these are the most important things to us, but they might not be the most important things. These are the things we want to be the most important things to us.
Okay.
Are they actually the most important things to us?
So I don't think that counts as well. He's looking at being a hypocrite there. There, we're not saying, we're not intentionally trying to deceive, but it's hard to tell, you know? So this is talking about when I'm listening to others, right? I'm trying to learn from everyone else. How do
Yeah.
I know what they mean? What do they have in mind? Do they have my best interest in mind? That's a hard thing to tell.
Right. Because sometimes they themselves don't know.
That's true too. So this is not easy. You say, here's your trick, here's your Musar message number six. You can say, eyes on the prize. Enechel keep your eyes straight ahead. Pay attention to where you're trying to go. Then you decide whether there's something you're going to listen to is worth listening to or not. Does it help you get to your goal? Stay focused. Because then it's going to be kol derechecha yechinu, right? Kol derechecha yechinu, then your path will be straight. You'll be like a straight line. Rabbi Goldstein, who has the book on Proverbial Beauty about Mishlei, has a nice, it's a metaphor for this metaphor. Okay, this is a metaphor, obviously, going in a straight line. This is a meta metaphor. This is what he describes that. 2009, a German scientist named Jan Salomon took a group of subjects out into empty parking lots and open fields, blindfolded them, and instructed them to walk in a straight line. Some of them managed to keep a straight course for 10, 20 paces, a few less than 50 or 100. In the end, all of them wound up circling back to the points of origin. Not many of them, not most of them, every last one. You can't see where you're going, you can't walk a straight line. Period. They had no idea, Dr. Salomon told NPR. They were thinking that they're walking a straight line all the time. So how do we hold true to our course? Dr. Salomon explained what might otherwise seem obvious, a simple solution to the circular inclination of human compass with external clues, like a mountaintop or other promontory on the horizon. People have no trouble at all traveling a straight line. So if you have something to look at, you can walk in a straight line. If you're just trying without any guide, you're gonna end up going in circles. So that's what you need to do. Keep your goal in mind. Keep your eyes open and watch that as you're walking. And that's the idea of what tzitzit are supposed to be. It says about tzitzit, they will be tzitzit, literally fringes, but also from the word tzitz, which means to look at, peer at. We tell about
Oh.
to look at these tzitzit, who's like tema kumot avot Hashem, and you'll keep the mitzvot by simatam, and then you'll do them. You're not going to go touring after your hearts, and your eyes, I'm sure that you're going to be seduced to go after. Right? He says, "Look at Turu, right? Don't literally don't go touring. Don't go following after your heart. The heart, the mind, and the eyes are like the agents, the spies, the scouts for the body. That turn him to sinning." The eye sees, the mind wants, and then you do this. So keep it in mind, and if you have even have something as simple as a tzitzit there, it'll keep you going in a straight line. So you need to avoid the temptations of false voices and seductive sights. Right? Keep your eyes on the goal. That'll help you get there. And that, I think, explains a very strange bracha that we say in the morning. always bothered me. Says Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, right? Baruch HaShachar, Hamavir Sheinat Meinai, who removes the sleep from my eyes, Utunat Me'afapai, and slumber from my eyelids. And then immediately, he read someone from Hashem Elokeinu Begavotenu, may be your will, Shetagalena B'Torah Techa, to make us used to your Torah, B'Dabkein and close to your mitzvot. Well, to be able to hate the Abaron, Babon, Lady Sayon, don't bring us to sin or to temptation. And Baruch Hashem, Gomel, Hasdim Tovim, Mo Yisrael, blessed are you, who brings good things to Israel. So each part of that bracha is fine, right? It starts out with the thank you Hashem for letting us wake up and then pray that we should go on the path of Torah. But why put them in one bracha? What do they have to do with it?
Like an executive summary.
Of everything I read before. But this,
What we should be focusing on.
that it is, but what has to do with the right? I mean, I think what I just said, that's what does it have to do with waking up? You know, you have the way waking up one, and they're really, and it's a single bracha. That's part of the point here, that this is not like two separate brachot. That's why it says in the Siddur, don't say amen after Tumurah Me'afapai, because that's not the end of the bracha. The bracha ends here with Tovim Mo Yisrael.
Yeah.
When you wash your face, lima, you should say Baruch HaMavir, you read some of Fanecha all at once, right? Blessed is God who removes the sleep and who should taglim guide me in the ways of Torah. And Tosfos makes the point also, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Shimina Bracha, that the Yehi Ratzon is part of the same bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Mavir Shana Me'anayim. That's why it doesn't start with it. The Yehi Ratzon doesn't start with its own bracha. Tzarich lomar v'Yehi Ratzon right after that. Mim tamar v'lo kol bracha kulan tzarich lomar b'chetim atan me'ein b'chitatan. And if you're going to tell me that brachot have to start and end with the same concept, you don't have two different concepts in a single bracha. Here, v'ha'leka, this is not that way because it starts with waking up and this ends with the thank you for doing good to us. And the guiding in the ways of Torah, your summary can answer the shaper having me in p'tichah, samuch that it really does. It's shapir means it's good. That the opening and the ending really are part of the same idea. The ma'avir, the samuch
Isn't Shabir,
really means beautiful.
I thought it was Lishapir to fix or to improve.
Okay, then that's, I mean, it's the same root. But in the Gemara, Shapir is a way of describing a halachic answer.
Oh.
That, yeah, that's a good answer.
Yeah, I
Okay, so there's a Shapir, it's fine that this is the same answer, but of course, like the Ma'avir to some that the Ma'avir Sheinah removing the sleeve, Tiklena Chazim Tovim. And then it ends with the doing good chesed to Bnei Israel. But this is the gemilah chesedim that you renew our strength. That is the chesed. I think
basically renewing.
is, but that doesn't fit with targeting b'Torah techa. But I think what we're saying here, this metaphor of keeping your eyes open so you can go in a straight line, that's the metaphor of Shlomo. That's the metaphor here, that we're not thanking God for literally waking us up. Right. The previous bracha says, "Natan layef koach," gives the exhausted strength. That's waking. That's thank you, God, for waking us up. Here, it's thank you for allowing me to open my eyes and focus on what's important. Okay, that's taglina b'torah. Like my eyes are open, and I'm going to go in a straight line now, not get twisted around. To be taglina b'torah, guide in the ways of Torah and close to the mitzvot. That's the end of Perek Daled. Perek Hey starts with the same message. Be wary of smooth talkers, right? Be careful who you listen to. Lots of people out there giving you advice. But uses the other metaphor. Rav Sefer Shlomo, the Isha Zara, right? The strange woman. That Chachma Torah is the woman you're supposed to be involved in, and all these other Chachamot, all these other attractive intellectual ideas. That's the Yetzer Hara. So he says, "Bni l'chach, l'chach, l'chachmati hakshiva, my son, listen to my wisdom. It's from a taihat. Pay attention to my understanding. The shmor mizimot, mizima. We've translated that as mindfulness, right? Keep mindful. Be aware of where you're going. V'dat tzvatecha yiratzru, and your lips should guard that knowledge. Nofit titefet tit v'na sifte zara, because the zara, the strange woman, the lips of a strange woman drip with honey. We know fit with the
So
honeycomb.
we got the woman as temptress.
She is tempting, very tempting. And her cheek is smoother than oil. But the end will lead to something bitterer, more bitter than wormwood. It is
What's
sharper.
the wormwood?
La'ana is always translated as wormwood,
Oh.
which is supposed to be something bitter. I don't know what a wormwood actually is, but
Yeah, it's old language. I have to look that up in an American
let's look
book.
that up.
That's a good idea.
A wormwood plant. Okay, look at that. You can get the
How
wormwood
much
extract.
time?
Absinthe.
Oh, that's also an aphrodisiac or whatever.
Right, it's used in absinthe, which is an anise flavored beverage.
Yeah.
And it's a medication, and it's a.
Isn't that for the green drink that people could kill themselves with?
Yeah, that was traditionally absinthe, where they would make, I think they would anise fennel, wormwood, and what was it? I'm sure, why is it so dangerous?
I
Oh.
know it was like
Yeah, supposedly dangerously addictive.
yeah,
But
I
probably not.
would.
But according to Wikipedia, it's not that dangerous. But anyway, but it's at least tastes good. As used in the Torah as a metaphor for something that's very bitter. Piyot, and it is sharper than a double-edged sword. We have to come back to this metaphor later. Ragla yordot mavet. Her feet go down to death, Sha'ol Tzadeh Yitmachu, and her steps hold on to the grave. Orech Chayim Pen Tifales. She does not, or her actions are, how do you say, lest she weigh her Orech Chayim, the direction of her life, that she does not think about where she's going, this Yisra. Na'u lo teda, her path wanders and she has no idea. That's the Isha Zara.
So she's also lost.
She is lost,
And
but very sweet.
she's looking for somebody else to lose.
That's right. So that's that. And here it clearly is a metaphor here, right? We're not really talking about being careful of women. But so be saying, but lishmor mizimot, you need to keep you mindful, right? What the doctor would call that, a high index of suspicion. Be thinking about this possibility. And it's about the zara, what you hear outside the walls of the yeshiva, right? There's chachma, there's Torah, you know that's right, and then there's other things. And that the zara is the opposite of the chacham of the previous parak. We talked about that. The previous parak, the chacham, is peles ma'agel raglecha, right? Weigh the path of your legs. And here it's orchim pen tifaleh. She doesn't weigh them, doesn't think of where she's going. And she's not called Rachel Yichonu. She is no maglata. She's not going in a straight line. Her path wanders. And specifically, the Isha Zara, this is Rashi's way of looking at it, is Isha Zara mi kinesia shel apikorsut. Isha Zara is a gathering of heresy. And kinesia, interesting, is the word for a church. And this is
This is a word for a church.
Knesia.
Yeah. I would thought
Right?
you were talking about that word.
Right. That, no, it's a Knesia Apikoros, the church of heresy, and Behi'a Minut. And this is being a min. which
What's
also
his
trust. A min is another kind of heretic. Exactly how that's different from an apikoros and a kofer, all these different words for heresy. But Rashi used that word in a very specific way. And this comes from Lisa Fredman. You may know her? Michael
Yeah,
Fredman's wife?
she's married to Michael now.
Yes. But she's
Yeah.
interesting, has a PhD in Rashi.
Wow. Where'd she get her degree? Do you
I
know?
don't know the answer to that question.
I'll have to ask Debbie. She'll know.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But she made an interesting point. She spoke at this is like whatever, 10 years ago. Of the title Rashi encounters the Christian world in his commentary to Mishnah. That when Rashi used the word minut, he's talking about Christian proselytizing.
Oh.
He's looking at the Ishaza Rashi is minut, that is for the Christian in his time, right? So look at our context of Rashi's commentary. In the Gemara everywhere, when it says minin, the heretic, Rashi translates akum. Oved kochav umazalot, right?
Yeah.
Someone who served Avodah Zarah. That's censored. The
That's interesting.
original is a little bit more interesting. Okay, and this is from Wikishivia, which is a nice site, no, nice site which says, Bishvil ze yesh internet. Talking about censoring. Achamakor hayakatuv. The original definition of minin is Talmidei Yeshu.
Now,
The
so
students of
you
Jesus.
know who.
Okay? And similarly, when he says minut, katav Rashi, and he adds a milin, amudgashot, hushmatu idea censoria, that these words are missing in our text because of the censoring happened in the Middle Ages. And Stephen Weil makes the point that most of the censoring that happened in Jewish texts in the Middle Ages
Yeah.
was not due to the Catholic Church censoring. It was self-censoring by the publishers.
By the Jewish publisher?
Right. Because the Christian censors would just burn the whole book. They wouldn't take out words.
By the way,
Yeah.
Danny, I wanted to tell you that after the, what was the famous, the Gutenberg press? No,
Yeah.
what was the first printing press?
As Gutenberg was the first printing press.
Okay, so after that, I mean, Gutenberg didn't publish any Jewish things, but then all these Jewish people started publishing.
Right. That's famously Bamberg.
And the first publisher of Jewish things was Sansino.
He was before Bamberg. Yes. Yeah, so Sansino was Jewish.
And I forgot to tell him, maybe Howard Cramton. I think he might have mentioned this, but he said that basically that's where like you have like the Sansino Humashim and stuff like that.
I don't know that that's the same people. I think they're named after them.
I'm saying it's in honor of the fact that
Right.
the first of the Kodesh were printed by Sansino.
Yeah. But I like the story that the Mikra Gedolot and the modern layout of the Gemara was invented by Daniel Bamberg, who was a printer who was not Jewish.
Was he the first guy to print Jewish stuff?
No. So I think Santino was before him, I believe, a little before. But
Yeah.
Bamberg made all the money and made all the big ones.
Oh,
Because
interesting.
he basically wanted to make money, and like a monk friend of him said, you know, the Jews like books. I bet you could print some Jewish books and make a lot of money. And he did.
That's funny.
So he got Jewish books. So evidently, I'm reading something now about printing in Italy, and the Jews weren't allowed to own printing presses. So all the Jewish printers had to be like sponsored
A non-Jew.
Christian, organized company.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, but the point about the censoring is that the publishers would censor so they wouldn't get the whole book be burned and probably their whole print company be burned by the church. So they would take out anything that sounded offensive. But the original wording of minut, Rashi translates, is Otam Talmidei Yeshua Nutzri. That's talking about the students of Jesus of Nazareth, Hochvim Tamei Torah, that they completely turn around the meaning of the Torah, the Midrash Ta'ut Va'alil, to a Midrash, learning that is mistaken and worthless. Kino Omer, Kos Tehillim, Amar Navel Blibo Ein Elokim. Fool says in heart, there's no God. There's no one more foolish. Turning around the words of God. The minute specifically refers to Christianity. And similarly, this is another quote that's quoted in the Otsar Forum. They flip your tear. It's amazing to say. He had to Rashi Mefarsh Batzmo, the Sof Sota, that Rashi says in the end of Gemara Sota, when it says, Malchut tefech l'minut, that kingdom will turn to minut for heresy, then Rashi explains that min is Rashi Tevot, mitalmidei Yeshu Notzri.
Oh, interesting.
Mem Yud Nun, right? The students of Jesus of Nazareth.
No,
Now, I don't know if
okay.
that's real or that's just hidden commenting. I don't know if Min really comes from that. The next up, Rishas, it's not present in our Gemaras right now, Pia Bakorat, but because it's censored out, but you can see it in other editions that were published in non-Christian contexts. And so that's Rashi's focus in Sefer Mishlei, right? Is that he's talking about when he sees the Isha, when he sees in Shlomo's comment, the Isha Zara, whose words are smooth, is the Christian proselytizers of his own time. That people are Pita'im, that's a good thing, right? We pointed out that you need your Emunah Pshuta, your simple belief, but as Mishlei says, it's important, Latet Pita'im Arma. You have to give the naive, the petty, a little bit of sophistication, some cynicism. But otherwise, the local priest can tell them things and say, look, the Bible says, Messiah is going to come, we should convert to Christianity. Right? That's exactly the im are mitafim, those who are easily seduced, idei mesitim, by those who deceive, uminim, by the min. Again, Rashi consistently means that to be Christian. And I have to say that you've heard this joke before, right? That there are three Jews who convert to Christianity. We're having a drink together in a posh restaurant. They start talking about the reason for their conversions. I converted for out of love, said the first. Not for Christianity, but for a Christian girl. You both know my wife insists that I convert. And I said the second, I converted in order to rise in the legal system. You know that my recent appointment as a federal judge may have had something to do with my new religion. I wouldn't take Jews. Now I'm a Christian. The third man spoke up. I converted because I think the teachings of Christianity are superior to those of Judaism. Are you kidding? Said the first man spinning his drink. What do you take us for? A couple of goyim? That's like, I would take it for granted that no one's going to convert out of some kind of religious conviction. Why wouldn't someone pick Christianity? But it's not true, because people do. It can be very seductive. Okay, and one famous example, have you ever heard of this guy, the chief rabbi of Rome during the Holocaust, 1940, 1945?
Who is that?
His name was Eugenio Zoli, converted to Catholicism. And it says here that, and this is after, so he was saved, he was in Italy, right, which really wasn't affected as much by the Holocaust.
But it was affected.
It was, but not as much, because the Germans didn't invade until the very end. They were allied.
Also, because the Italians didn't support them.
Right.
They didn't cooperate.
Right. He's still so, but afterwards, that he was by presiding over the religious service synagogue in the Holy Day of Yom Kippur in 1944. He experienced a vision of Jesus when his party says he found the words, "You were here for the last time." After his conversion, Zoli was asked in an interview why he had given up the synagogue for the church. Zoli responded saying, "But I've not given it up. Christianity is the completion of the crown of the synagogue. The synagogue was a promise, Christianity, the fulfillment of that promise. Synagogue pointed to Christianity, Christianity presupposes the synagogue. So you see, one cannot exist without the other. What I converted to was living Christianity."
Oh,
This is
Lord.
someone who actually took the honey dripping from the lips of the strange woman. Take it seriously, right? It's possible. So Mishlei is warning you, right? Be careful about all these other cultures out there that sound smart, and you're a smart person, and you're learning all these things, and you're going to be pulled in that direction. Which, of course, what happened to Shlomo himself at the end of his life.
Going to talk about somebody who was basically distracted because of how many wives did that guy have? A lot.
There we go. Melech, so let's quote it exactly. Let's look at it inside. Melech Yemirah, the end of Shlomo's life. Shlomo loved many foreign wives, Zeparo, including the daughter of Pharaoh, Moviot, Amoniot, and Madmot, Sidonit, Chitit, a whole every other among the nations that God said, don't get involved with them. Nation marries you. Because they're going to turn your hearts toward their gods. Those are the ones that Shmuel loved. And he had 700 primary wives, 300 concubines.
Good grief.
That's a lot. And they turned his heart. And as Shlomo got older, he wasn't that old. I mean, he died at 52. Nashav he took
How old was David when he passed away?
70. He became king. He was 40 years, so he was king when he was 30. They turned his heart. Again to these other guys. And he wasn't wholehearted with God. Like David's father. And he served Ashtoreth, and he served Milcom, Molech. Shlomo did wrong in eyes of God. And he wasn't wholehearted with God. And part of that, obviously, is
Whole thing about the mitzvah of king that you can't have too many wives.
yes. That's very much the way the Gemara looks at it, is that Shlomo said, I'm smart. It says not to have so many wives just so they won't turn me away, won't distract me, but I'm smarter than that. I will not be distracted. I will not be turned away.
All right.
And he was wrong. Right. So I think part of it is just the physical seduction, right? He's got wives there, but he's the Chacham Mikol Adam. Presumably that he had some religious implications as well, and he's studying all these other religions and convinced that pantheism, right? God is God, the divine in everything. That's not incompatible with Torah. I can serve these other gods as well. That's still there. And so that, he was literally pulled away to these other religions as well. Ashtoreth and Mel and Molech. And so you have this metaphor of the Nofet, lips of the strange woman are dripping with honey, merged with a literal meaning. Literally love the women as well. Both of those were true. The thing about that, about what Mishlei is saying here, is that you can't just reject the Yesh Hazara. You can't not learn about all these other cultures because they have something to teach as well, right? The words are kechida kekerpiot, sharp as a double-edged sword. And the metaphor of a double-edged sword is one that you can use to attack with, but it can also cut you. It's a dangerous tool. Chasidim hold that, right? It said that in Tehillim. We say that in Psukei Zimra. Yalzu chasidim b'chavod, the chasidim rejoice with honor. Ramot kel b'granam, the glory of God in their throats. V'cherev pipiyot b'yadam, double-edged sword in their hand. And that's the Isha Zaraz, they want to hold, bring the double-edged sword. Because they acknowledge that other cultures have things to teach us as well.
So in a way, it's saying yes, it's a risk, but you have to let the world in. You can't
That's
where
exactly the way we're looking at Mishlei, is
you
it's both
can't
these things.
what's that one the thing where the guy goes into the cave and he doesn't want to come out?
Shimon Bar Yochai. Right. You can't be isolated forever. And this is from Echa Rabba. So, if someone tells you Yesh Chochma Bagoyim, that there's wisdom among the nations, ta'amin, believe them. Yesh Tor Bagoyim, al ta'amin. Say there's Torah there, there's not. We need to distinguish between Chochma and Torah, which we do. And because so their opinions that you should reject learning from others. Okay, these are two genders to handle. This is the Rosh and a Tshuva. Says ki chachmata philosophia, wisdom of philosophy, and which generally means Greek philosophy, but applied to Christian as well as this evolution of Greek philosophy. So as a general rule, any time you see in a halachic work the word philosophia, it's negative. They're not saying good things. Okay, ki chachmata philosophia, but chachmata Torah, wisdom of philosophy, wisdom of Torah. By Mishpatim, and those rules are not the same. Torah, Kabbalah, Moshe Mitzrayim. We have a tradition from Sinai about the Torah. The Drosh, and our job as a Chacham, understanding them, is to use the principles that we know for deriving things from the Torah, from the Kabbalah. With them and Milta, and deriving one thing from the next. Even though they're not the same as what science would tell you. I know Chima Kabbalah, we have a tradition. This is Rosh. About Chokhmah, Philosophia, Hitivit. The philosophy we can see from the other nations is natural. And they were very wise. You have to acknowledge that. Emidu called the Baral Tiv. Oh, and they figured everything out where it fits in nature and in science. And that out of their intelligence, they broadened the area that's covered by philosophy, with shruchlu for b'torat Moshe, and they end up with something with things that contradict the Torah. You have a conflict of science and Torah. Pisha called Torah TV. Torah is not part of nature. El Kabbalah, it's just an inherent, and it's just what we've received. It says to Mimi im Hashem that you should be wholehearted with God, meaning Klamar. Even if something seems to be unnatural, against science, Al Tareil Kabbalah, don't question it. Just accept it as it is. And again, the Rosh is saying we should not be learned the Chokhmah Philosophia. Therefore, you can't bring any proof from what they say. I said, "Oh, Mofid, Gezerot, and Oh, Mashlim, and Mishpatei, Shemei, Sharim," in order to use them to derive anything about God's righteous laws. Everything we said before, when I'm quoting Aristotle's Nicomedean Ethics, don't do that, Rosh is saying. You don't need any of that. That's why Mishle, we quoted this passage, Kol ba'e'a lo yishuvun, talking about the Isha Zarah here. Those who go to her will never return. Once you get seduced by the Isha Zarah, you'll never come back. What's the Lamar meaning? Once you start dealing with that, with the philosophia, you'll never leave it. You'll never bring Torah into your heart. You'll never get away from the science that you've gotten used to, because you're all going to be attracted to that. And this will never help you understand the Torah. The Torah is teaching you the way one should act. Because you'll all be looking at the science side of it. And you'll put them together. And you'll try to compare one to the other and drive one thing to the other. They'll say you have a mishpat, and then your mishpat will be warped, will be distorted. The two opposites. So I wrote to us, enemies to one another, lo yishkenu b'makom achad, they can never be in one place. That's the rush. Stay isolated. Don't start.
What do you say that's the rush? What do those letters stand for? The rush.
Rabbeinu Asher is the father of the tour,
Ah.
the Bala tour.
Okay.
So early Rishon. And so Soloveitchik famously opposed having any religious discussion with other faiths. Ever read Confrontation? That was an essay from, I think, 1965.
No, but he we used to meet with different sects of Judaism. He would meet with different rabbis, and
Well, he would be okay with me, and specifically this is talking
he
about,
got a lot of flack for that in his time.
he did. And I'm not sure exactly what but he certainly would not have any religious discussion. His idea was that we can meet with others, and this is talking about other religions specifically in this essay. We can
Yeah.
talk to them if we have to have common, it's like arranging for security for religious institutions. Right? A secular sphere, we may discuss positions be taken, ideas be evolved, plans be formulated. These matters, religious communities may together recommend action to be developed. We can work with other religious communities on non-theological issues. Right? We're communities. We can work
Like
together.
ethical issues.
Not even ethical, but practical.
Okay.
You want to argue for tax benefits? That's fine. However, our joint engagement in this kind of enterprise must not dull our sense of identity as a faith community. If debates revolve around matters of faith, we're talking about when we once we start talking about religious things, faith matters, then one of the confronters would be impelled to avail himself of the language of Islam. Right? The very act of talking together means you've got to have a common language, which means surrender of individuality and distinctiveness. Okay, that we, if we, as soon as we start to find some kind of common language, we lose our independence. He said, you can't do that, right? You're not going to learn anything religious from other language, from other cultures.
So, Danny, what do you think of like student to student? You know, the CRC
That's
program.
the JCRC is talking about what Jews are like. I think they're not getting into religious arguments, saying this is what Jews are and what we
No,
believe.
they're
Not the
basically talking about what the religion means to them. So, because basically, most of these non-Jewish kids, they're not going to even meet any Jewish kids.
Right.
So
So
the
there
idea.
you're just saying that
Basically,
Jews are human beings.
beings, not like, you know, like hateful people or whatever.
Right. So I think that would be okay according to what he's saying here. Now, I mean, I certainly think that I would go further than that. And certainly what's interesting is that people like Shlomo Carmi, who's one of his Talmidim, or Meir Soloveitchik, write for magazines like First Things, which is a Catholic magazine, where
Oh,
explicitly you're having, talking about common religious themes. So a lot of the students did not hold by his opinion there about that. And we saw that before, that the idea of Eilu Chachamim Lomei Mikol Adam means learning from everyone, the entire world. Okay, that not, again, these are opinions that you shouldn't go anywhere near it, but like the Maharal explicitly said, there's lots to be learned. Right? That's the way the Maharal said. Maybe Debar Gum, if you find something in their words, in these Chachma chitzonit, wisdom of the nations, something that helps with your own faith, the Kabbalah, then you can learn, accept it. Zahir, but you have to be very, very careful to keep to the truth. And that's why the Chazal warned us and said, "Have a shakud luma Torah. Be very eager to learn Torah specifically. Vada masha tashiva bikoros. Know how to respond to their, understand what their arguments are. Vada and vada Yavan. Clearly, this is talking about, at least from the mission's point of view, they're talking about Greek philosophy. Those are the ones you had to be arguing with. Who had the deep ideas that are wise and they have something to learn from, but were seductive at the same time. That they would think in their own minds, in their own intellects, philosophy, and they would ask philosophical questions. That's why you have to be proactive. You have to know what you're talking about. To understand what they're saying, to answer, to address them, and to come out with the truth. If you can do that, then you'll be among the tzaddikim and Ganeden. Learn your philosophy, but keep your eye on the prize, as we said. And this is Rav Kook also saying something similar, that you can't reject outside learning, but realize it's separate. This is Rav Kook. What we are learning here, how we're supposed to act. We're trying to ask questions that span the border between the holy and the secular, profane. The way things work, that you looks at first glance. The Kedusha, Chachma of Torah, and Chol, Chachma of the Pilosof, the science, are always struggling with one another. Like Yaakov and Esav, they're enemies of one another. But the truth is, there's really no contradiction, there's no opposition. When we want to try to define life, understand our purpose, to give it a shape and a form. Do you understand what we're doing here? Enough from him. We would say she ain't mizeh. That just like we don't, we are not, we do not despair because we saw that
How love is insulted.
insulted. Okay, that's a better word. Yeah, thank you. We're not insulted that when she b'shashini gash Shlomo livnot the Beit Mikdash, that when Shlomo wants to build the Beit Mikdash, right, the Adom Regal, the footstool of God in the Holy Land, how does he build it? He hires non-Jewish architects, non-Jewish builders, right? That's not an insult to the Kedusha. He hires Hiram, the king of Sidon, to bring him men to cut to carve the wood, and says, because you know, because we have nobody who knows how to work with wood like the Tzidonim do. He says, similarly, wasn't we should not be insulted if we need to use the need to use his outside forces. We can look at other sources of wisdom as well to understand to build our lives. That the Sidonim carved the wood, and the non-Jews cut dressed the stones that were used to Beit Midash. That's a metaphor, so too. But the Kedusha remains ours. We know how to keep that Kedusha, even though it may be built by, we may be using the tools of others and the materials that others have built, but it's still got to be our Kedusha. Ivanut, I think it's maybe from Greek there. Here's how he, let me see how Google translates that. Yeah, Greekness as wisdom. Right? If is the opposite of Kodesh. It's Chilul Kodesh, we can't do that. We have to keep the Yevanim, the Philosophia, out of our Kedusha, but we can still use those tools. And we bring our national life out of this eternal source, that's that expands worlds. Time eternal, not just generations. And this will remain our source. We have to keep our focus on the Torah and the Kedusha, but so it can use as other things. So is learning our philosophy a good thing or a bad thing? The answer obviously is yes. It's both.
Yes, it's bad.
No, yes, it's good. It is good or it's bad. Both of those things. Right? Whenever you have an or question, the answer always is yes. Both of those are true. It's a double-edged sword. Okay? It's a Zarach. It's a strange woman with a double-edged sword, which requires us to quote Monty Python. You know Monty Python at all?
A little bit, but I have to say I haven't watched that much of them.
Okay, so Holy Grail, right, as King Arthur point, King Arthur doesn't say that's Dennis who says that. What did they say? Oh, no, not peasants. Okay, strange women distributing swords, no basis for a system of government. Okay, but all our parak here is about the strange woman and the double-edged sword.
But according to this reference, it's really not a woman at all.
It's a metaphor here, right? This is talking about Chachma
Different
Pitzvah.
philosophies and approaches.
Right, and you have something to learn, but you have to be careful about it. And right, and we're gonna end with pointing out that the Torah, that the Chazal talk about translating the Torah into Greek.
But
Right.
actually, it was translated now.
Yes, And famously, but the Mishnah says, number one, that you're allowed to translate it to Greek. Greek's the perfect language for translating the Torah. It's the most beautiful language. That's all philosophers like. It's got all the right terms. Greeks have are thinking in terms that are possible to translate into Torah terms, but still, as Masechet Sofrim, Maaseh b'Chamisha Tzadikim, there were five Tzadikim, Shekatvu Tamei HaMelech et Torah Yivanit, translated the Torah into Greek. The famous story is of the 70, the Septuagint. Here it only has five. They translated it. Vayom kasha Yisrael, and this day was as bad for Israel. Kiyom shenasa egel. As bad as the day that the egel zav, the
That's
golden
pretty
calf, was made. That would be bad. Shleita Torah yicholi targem kol tzarchakos, but you can't translate it correctly. You can translate it, but you're going to miss something. And in fact, that day, that's your is the Megillat Tanya says b'chet Torah Yevanit. That the day that was translated was the 8th day of Tevet, and that's one of the things we fast over on Asar B'Tevet. Okay, B'mei Talmei HaMelech in the days of Ptolemy, v'choshech ba la'olam shlosh yamim. The world was dark for 3 days, 8th, 9th, and 10th. And then the 10th bow, Samach Melech Bavel, Yadol Yisraelayim, Achiva, that's when the siege started. So one of the three things that we mourn for on Asar B'Tevet is translating the Torah into Greek. So the Bavitch Rebbe asked on this, what is the deal with this term, Kayom Shenaseh Egel? It's like the day that the Egel Zav was made. Not, it was as bad as making the Egel. What's the day of? So this is the Lubavitch Rebbe. Atmiyah Hikari, the real one, strange thing, the wonder is he b'kach shev raita hamuvala that in the right to be quoted, Masechet Sofrim, Nemar haya yom kachel Yisrael kiyom shenaseh egel, that this was as terrible a day as the day that the egel zav was made.
We were almost destroyed.
That's a key. How can you possibly say this? Just because the Torah isn't, you can't be translated completely. It's such a terrible, such a negative thing. Well, as the day that the eagle was made. And that's his question. And he says, you know what it is? Because it wasn't as bad as making the ego. It was as bad as the day before. Because Bnei Israel served the ego on the next day. And that's when Hashem tells you, go down and you got it, the people of White Wall lost their way.
Yeah.
But the meaning of it was as hard as the day that as the egel was made, as the meaning is, was the trouble wasn't when they made the day. That's the day that was that it, the sin was prepared, was made possible.
But that was symptomatic of the fact that they turned away from Hashem.
Well, could have been.
Or
Aaron tells them, "Tag L'Hashem Machar."
he
Right
lost
there,
it.
they want right there. They want an egel, and we've talked about it, lots of places. That you could have. It was a symbol of the Merkava, carrying the Shekhinah. I've talked about that. The egel was a symbol there, maybe so eager to be close to God. They missed that. You could have turned in the right direction. The egel was a double-edged sword. It could have worked out, right? If Aaron builds the Mizbeach, says Chag L'Hashem Machar, is a holiday for God tomorrow. Moshe comes down and they incorporate that Egel in as one of the Kruvim in Mishkan, then that's wonderful. We've got close to its way of expressing our closeness to God. But it's not, right? It's the that translating the Torah into Greek is the same way. Gam kachu shabo turgmat Torah Yevanit. Translating the Torah into Greek. Yom kash hu yom kashal Yisrael. Because it has the potential to turn out very badly. That we're going to misinterpret Torah, and to warp the true understanding. Again, it's the idea that the translating to other languages, learning the using the language, the terms of other cultures, is a double-edged sword. It can help us understand the Torah, but it also can draw us away. So learning the Chachmah Bagoyim is risky. We do it because our intellectual curiosity pushes us to learn everything. We need to learn everything, and it helps us learn. But fundamentally, growing up in the West, that's how we think. We have to be aware of the risks as well. And that's what Shlomo is telling us. You can learn from the strange women, but don't get too close. I will stop here.
Thank you, Danny.